carpet day!
Huh?
No!
Dada speaks to you.
Bitch, are you for real?
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. We're all out of bubblegum.
He think he's bad, he ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass.
In 100 years, I'll have my revenge on your great-granddaughter.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
If you don't get me my money tonight, I'm gonna put that young girl of yours out on the horse door.
If you crave satisfaction, this is the place to find that action.
And tell him I want him out of here in 24 hours. And 23 of them are already gone.
On.
That, I guess, makes a lot of us.
Like, it does. It's weird, but I was like, okay, I kind of get it.
Yeah, that still only makes one of us.
It is just all of it. I watched this movie. I've seen this movie like 3 times over the years. First time being like shortly when it came out. And every time I watch it, it's like I'm watching it for the first time. I'm just like, I don't remember any of this.
It's definitely like a movie you watch really drunk with friends.
Mm-hmm. None of us did that.
Yeah, so we all were sober and alone. Well, sober-ish and alone.
I was actually not alone. I watched it with my husband, and I think my marriage is ruined. I'm not gonna lie.
He
was like, I cannot believe you just made me watch whatever the hell that was. Like, he was legitimately upset.
My mom is so used to, because of my mom, or I'll just say my mom was with me, make it sound fancier. she's like so used to movies that I watch that she just literally tunes them out. And I was like, oh man, I wish I could watch it upstairs with her just to annoy the fuck out of her.
Yeah. Amy would never let me show this movie to her. Like she would not watch past like 3 seconds of this movie. Which 3 seconds into this movie is just like completely like, what the fuck is insane.
Yeah, I mean,
we go hard.
Getting into.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've already started recording, so because like. I could tell that some good conversation was about to come up. So this is Movie So Badly Good, Midnight Classics in Camp. I'm Ian, and today, I mean, you know what this movie is. You clicked on the title. It's Father's Day from not that other Father's Day movie, or that other Father's Day movie, or even the other one. You know which one? It's the one from 2011 by Astron 6. Who's Astron 6? What is Astron 6? We'll talk about that when we get into it. So let's go ahead and get into it. And I'm here with a couple people who haven't been here in a while, and I'm glad I finally got a chance to bring you all back in. The Breton Wrecker is back.
Ooh, all right. Woo.
And also Jenna is here.
Woo! I'm here too.
Like scheduling is getting like really hard on this podcast. Every single person like has a completely different schedule, so it's hard to do this podcast these days, especially on weekends, since y'all are available mostly on like Fridays and Saturdays, and I am not. So I finally got y'all on here when I finally got a free Saturday. So So glad I could bring y'all in for Father's Day. How y'all like it? I mean, of course, this episode already started talking about how crazy it is. But yeah, what are your overall thoughts?
I guess I'll go first because I guess I'm pretty used to these movies. So while it was weird, I wasn't as phased as I think a lot of other people would have been. And I honestly think that it helps that it was a trauma movie, even though you said that like trauma didn't really do too much. Obviously, Lloyd Kaufman was in it. But I think it helped because it's going to reach the audience that it wants to reach.
Yeah. Trauma movies aside, what it is for sure.
Yeah, it's like trauma movies aside, because like I'm not a huge fan of the trauma movies, but it's not because of like, you know, the sex and violence and stuff like that. It's mainly just I don't like most of the movies. I liked, what was that turkey movie they did?
Poultrygeist?
Yeah, I liked Poultrygeist. And I think this was like, you know, this was in the same vein as that, like super low budget, super weird, and just like, you know, kind of putting like special effects on display mostly, which it's always going to be fun for me. So I enjoyed this movie, and the ride was insane still.
I've
never heard of it.
Yeah, so what I always ask y'all every episode is what's your history with it? Neither of you have seen it. You both just watched this just today for the first time.
Yeah.
Just a couple minutes ago.
I picked this up at a movie store like 10 years ago. There's a couple really awesome movie stores here in Austin, and they're still around, crazy enough. But I was just looking through like these cool movies, and I saw Father's Day, and the cover was crazy. The cover alone just made me want to rent this movie, and so I did. I'd never heard of it before, but it was just like, okay, well, this is insane. And so it said something about like father rape in the description, but I did not expect how much they were like. There's a lot of father rape, and I was just like, okay, well, this is, even though I was expecting it, this is unexpected.
You gotta say, there's no false advertising, there's no clickbait. They fucking put it all out there.
Right? Yeah. And so I watched the movie, like 10 years ago, about the time when it came out, and I was just like, well, that was insane. I'm probably never going to watch it again. And I returned it. And then years later, the Facebook group comes out, Movie So Bad, They're Good, Midnight Cold Classics of Camp, and then the podcast. And I keep seeing this being brought up. Then I saw this other movie called Manborg. And I find out that's the same people that did Father's Day. And then I find out later that the same company, Astron 6, did Psycho Goreman. And that was really huge when it came out. And so I was like, okay, so it's the same people. So I decided to give it another chance a couple of years ago. And I enjoyed it a little bit better. This is a movie that definitely gets better the more times you watch it. And because, like, I guess you're half expecting what's going to happen, so you could be like, okay, so all these fucked up parts, okay, yeah, okay, we can get past all of that, and then get for the really good stuff. Because, like, this movie is, like, really terrible and horrendous, but it's also really fucking awesome at the same time. And you just have to sit through, like, the shocking, terrible parts in order to enjoy the good stuff, I think. And I think it's worth it in the end, especially. I was telling Bree this in the chat earlier when she was watching it. Watch for the last like 10 seconds, and it'll make the entire movie worth it. So Bree, what do you think?
You know, it's we were talking about like intros to this movie. You mentioned I had just watched this earlier, and you brought up something like Astron 6 other works. So my first Astron 6 movie was actually The Void, which is a completely different direction than this yeah. movie.
So,
yeah, so you know, I'm so used to like the Astron 6 good movies, Psycho Goreman and The Void, and I'm thinking, okay, this is gonna be, you know, maybe it'll be a little more campy because this is like their first big movie. Holy fuck, dude! yeah, you're right. The last 10 seconds, you know, when the cats, I was like, all right, you know what? Interesting. I don't know if it made it worth it as per se, but it was definitely interesting.
I don't know. The one with the cone on it. Like, why does it have a cone?
Listen, we don't question Twink's cats.
Twink's cats. I mean, like, I remember laughing so hard when they're so they like kill themselves to go to hell to defeat the demon. I forgot.
Fuckman.
Fuckman. Yeah. Like,
can we do like a little synopsis of this movie?
yeah, in a minute. But yeah, like so they go to hell to defeat him, and then they're like, all right, well let's go back to like the living. Oh no, how do we do that? Let's just hope really hard, and then they're like hoping to go back, and then it just shows them like in real life, and there's just three dead bodies and rotting.
Like the fly sound effects.
Yeah, and it's just like, what the fuck? Like, I laughed so hard the first time I saw that. And I was just like, okay, that makes everything worth it for that laugh alone. I laughed so hard. Yeah, so Astron 6. What is Astron 6? Who is Astron 6? So they are actually five people, not six. You'd think six people, but there are five people. Who they started off doing a lot of short films, and they actually do a lot of special effects and a lot of really famous movies. I don't know if y'all looked it up, but yeah, they got around before they really like they've been in some like really good movies doing or like big budget movies doing really good special effects and makeup and stuff. So they did a lot of film festivals, and then they met up and they became Astron 6, did some short films and like fake trailers, and then they got picked up by Troma. Father's Day is their first movie, and then they also did Manborg the same year, both of them in 2011. And Jenna, you were mentioning that. So basically, the whole movie is like an Astron 6 movie. Like they wrote it, they acted in it, they directed it, and everything. And then Troma pretty much just funded it. And but I don't think Troma really had much say in what went on in the movie. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. So it's
if
a six.
He did, it's like. What are they gonna? What's their input? Oh, I think there should be more gore and more boobs. Like, more
need
dick.
A little more dick. As I say, a little more dick.
A lot of dick.
There are a lot of dicks in this movie. I am definitely desensitized. That's the thing about male nudity in these kind of movies is that like female nudity is everybody loves to see boobs. It's great, but when you see like an unexpected dick, it's just funny.
it catches you off guard.
Yeah, like that's my favorite kind of humor is like the unexpected humor that you just like you don't see it coming and then bam, it's like. Funny. It's like kind of trolling the audience too. So you'll see that the movie and a couple of their other movies are directed by Astron 6. So it's like it's all six guys are in the director's seat. But mostly it's Stan Kostanski or something like that.
Steven.
Yeah, he's the guy who's mostly behind the camera. He's credited for, I mean, the entire group is credited for Father's Day and Manborg. But Stanley Kostanski is, he has more of, like, Psycho Goreman is all him, mostly. I'm not even really sure if Psycho Goreman is even a Astron 6 movie. It's some of the Astron 6 guys are part of it.
I'd say, I think it falls under Astron 6. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it does.
When it comes to the later movies, I'm not really sure, like, what is him and then what is Astron 6. And, like, same with The Void. But it's mostly, like, yeah, so, like, all these guys just, like, made this movie together. And then, like, the actors, Adam Brooks is in all these movies. The only Astron 6 movie that Stephen Kostanski didn't direct, though, was The Editor, which I want to cover on this show pretty soon, which is they did a giallo film. For those who don't know, giallo is the old 70s Italian horror movie, like masked killer movies, thrillers. And Steven Kostanski didn't direct that one, but it was still all the same Astron 6 guys. So I'm not sure what the deal is with that. But
one of them, okay, and they're all in the movie too.
I see. Yeah, except for Stephen Kostanski. He hasn't done any of acting in any of them. But yeah, so like the three main characters in this movie, Father's Day, they acted in it, they directed it, they wrote it, they did everything. And then there's a fourth guy who I'm not really sure. He's in the movie, I think.
Yeah, I looked it up. I think he plays like a brief part.
Yeah. Adam Brooks, who plays Ahab, the guy with the patch, he's in Psycho. He's like their star. He's in Psycho Goreman. He plays the dad in that movie, who I fucking love him in that movie. He's the main guy in The Editor. So that's Adam Brooks. And then you have, let's see here.
Matthew Kennedy.
Yeah, Matthew Kennedy. And Matthew Kennedy is the star of Manborg.
Okay.
And then you have Connor Sweeney, he's just somewhere in all the movies. And I think he co-directed The Void. When it comes to The Void, it was just Connor Sweeney and Stephen Kostanski, and then Psycho Goreman is just Stephen Kostanski, but Adam Brooks stars in that movie. But I don't think Connor Sweeney or Matthew Kennedy had anything to do with Psycho Goreman, so I'm not really sure. But anyway, yeah, so that's the history of Astron 6. Apparently, Troma, they got, like, no money from this movie at all, so they, like, kind of left Troma, I think, so they're not really doing much else, exactly. I mean, Stephen Kostanski's making movies, but, like, Connor Sweeney and Matthew Kennedy, I don't think are really making much.
Love them and leave them.
Yeah, because they just made no money off of this movie, and it was a shoestring budget anyway. But like they did like a whole lot. Like The Void was like under $1 million. Like these guys are really good.
Yeah, for the budget, like I'm assuming it's low just by, you know, seeing it with your eyes.
but
it's like, damn, they did a whole lot. Like it was pretty ambitious, especially considering the plot is like, what?
Yeah, I mean, if you think this was low budget, wait till you see Manborg, which is Manborg makes Father's Day look like fucking like a big like a summer blockbuster movie.
this is like a step up from like Swamp Zombies 2. You know what I mean?
I think I don't know. I mean, it had more like gore and special effects and makeup than Swamp Zombies 2, but I don't know. I think Swamp Zombies 2 looked better. Like it had like better camera quality. I don't know.
Yeah, and better lighting. Sheesh. The lighting in this movie was just like pissing me off at some points. But again, it's like they were very ambitious in terms of like the storyline they wanted. I was like, damn, they fit all that into like an hour and like made an hour and a half movie. Like,
I mean, I told you all during the chat, like I got whiplash, like with how fast this plot was progressing.
Yeah.
God damn.
Every scene was like, it was like a new plot.
Oh my god. No, they ain't fucking around.
Yeah, this is such an ADHD movie.
You know, yeah. But I mean, first movie, and you're like, okay, I've got so many different ideas, and I want to just vomit them into one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like I said, they started out doing short films, so this is like kind of like a bunch of ideas that they had for like short 10-minute films, and they just taped them all together
and like hodgepodge them.
There we go.
I did like the one annoying thing, because it's kind of my pet peeve, is like when they try to do the what's the name of that Tarantino movie?
Are you talking about like Planet Terror?
Yeah, no. Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like I hate like the Grindhouse, like, oh, we're gonna make like shorts within, or like trailers within the movie, and then it's like
that.
The movie. Yeah, it's like my pet peeve, I think, because
Zombies 2 did that.
Well, there's a specific director that does that a lot that I have worked with, and it annoys me. So it's like, so that I could have done without, because it's only one. You know what I mean? Like, they introduce it in the beginning, and then there's like a little like thing in the middle, and then it's like back to Father's Day, and it's like, did we need that? Like, did it have to be like an hour and 30? So like, you just put a little thing in the middle just to like,
yeah,
add the timing.
You didn't enjoy the short starring woman. I love it. They're just like, like bric-a-brac. Woman.
And it looks like they did an ABCs of Death too, which like is on brand.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they have like a pretty I don't want to say big, but they have a cult following, you know, like people, especially in a Facebook group, really know who they are. And then after The Void came out and after Psycho Gourmet came out, like now they're definitely starting to get a bigger following, because they're starting to like kind of branch out into bigger movies. But
I mean, this, and obviously like you can tell that like at least like that that main guy is like a special effects guy. Because like the special effects are like amazing in these movies. Yeah. It's like so gross and just so disgusting, and I love that.
Yeah, if you watch The Void,
the more disgusting it is, the more I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, like The Void is like something that's never been done before, like other than maybe The Thing.
That's what drew me to it, I'm not gonna lie, is because it's so reminiscent of The Thing. And I mean, we had that episode eons ago where we talked about it, and mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like now that they have a bigger budget, they're like, let's really like make some fucked up shit. And like, yeah, Psycho Gourmet is like just like nightmarish shit in that movie, and The Void is like terrifying. And because like these guys are experts at what they do, and they basically, like, yeah, they basically do it for free too. Like I said, that I listened to some interviews by Adam Brooks and Stephen Kostansky yesterday, and they were just saying that like they got like no money from this, and but they did such a great job. Like they were literally starving.
And, you know, speaking of like nightmarish special effects, I was kind of like doing some reading up on Stephen Kostansky's other work, and he did the special effects, like the makeup for Hannibal, the show, not the movie, obviously. Like,
right, yeah.
God damn, dude knows terror, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. He's. I hope that like he gets his career just goes up from here, because like, he is so good, and he's a really good director and everything. And Adam Brooks, like, I love him. And like Psycho Gorman, where as the dad in that movie, just the pathetic dad who just sucks at everything. Like, he did that so well. And then and this movie, Father's Day, is Ahab. Like, it was pretty much like a knockoff of Snake Plissken, you know, from like.
I like the subtle eye patch jokes they had the whole movie. Like, yeah. He has an eye patch. And
yeah,
they like dress up as like women to escape, and he like has the eye patch.
Yeah, he like drives an eyeball onto the patch. Yeah, and, like I just love his delivery is so good, and
yeah. Also, this movie is like. I was actually surprised, like, how funny it was.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, yeah, so when they finally, like, kill Fuckman, so the whole movie, Ahab, he's just aloof, and he's just, like, kind of, he's calm, he's chill, he's very, just, like, a solid character, like, you know?
Snake Plissken, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Another awesome snake. Until he sees the guy, and then he just kind of breaks character and just destroys the guy, just smashes his head in, and then throws him off the cliff, and which is like an obvious dummy that like weighs nothing, and then
that, like, when it landed, it like splattered blood. I was like, oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. But like he was not the same character. It's like he just snapped and he just became this animal basically. And it's like, holy shit, and everybody around him is just like shocked by what they just saw him do. And it's like, what?
And I never thought I'd laugh so hard at like an incest joke. And they're like, oh, what did you do with his sister? And he's like,
oh, that's your sister, no. Gross.
I didn't do. We just hung out. That's it.
Watched a movie.
Yeah, he's embarrassed, but like, yeah, when she starts like just starts to like make out with him, he's like, no, like what? No, what's going on? We can't be doing this. I mean, yeah, I'm attracted to you, and then he just totally goes into it.
And it's like, oh yeah, like she bewitched me for sure. Like I was under a spell. Like I don't see that in the book.
Yeah. The Toma.
I love when she's possessed, the faces that she makes while she's fucking. She just
it went on for way too long, but like
her face, I know,
is so funny.
Yeah, but like the faces she makes is like she's like really like, I don't know, it was so funny.
It reminded me of like in Team America when the puppets are fucking, yeah, and it exactly. Like goes on for too long, but it's just like so ridiculous.
It turned into like a porn movie, basically.
Yeah.
With all the different positions and everything.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So, what else? You wanted to talk about the plot or whatever. So, So you've got the serial killer that's killing and raping dads. Just dads. That isn't a fun, it's so funny how like random that is. Like,
yeah, like they never explained it. Like, no, there's no, I was like, oh, maybe they'll explain it later. Nope.
Yeah, it's just so random. And like, yeah, then Ahab's sister, she's like, I'm not a dad. Yeah. So they, everybody teams up, and I like how Ahab is so just the like he at first doesn't want to, you know, so cliche. Like, yeah, it's the cliche thing of like, let's go find the guy who like knows about this, and he's like, I want no part of it.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, I haven't heard that name in years.
I'm just trying to collect my syrup.
I love how everything that happens, though, does come back. Like when he's tapping the tree for sap. And then when he takes like the poison berries and then the tasty berries.
Yeah, I love that scene where he's just like tripping. He's like just having the, you know, like the nightmare, and everything's like all crazy. Like they're like talking backwards but forwards at the same time. It was really cheesy, but it was a really cool effect kind of thing. And he's like underwater talking and everything.
Yeah, it was a good like, it was a good like trippy like David Lynch kind of thing, but you know, yeah. It's in this movie and the budget isn't that high, so this is what you got.
You can really see where they were influenced by, and because
I mean they don't really hide it is like the funny part, like when, at the end when she's choking the fuckman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like in like her little Princess Leia outfit, and it's like, what? You know this movie, right?
Right. Yeah. They're just a bunch of guys who really enjoy film, and it's like they're the much lower budget, less talented, but still talented Quentin Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez or David Lynch. Yeah. And each of their movies are, if you watch their other movies, they're all different genres. Like this one is the Grindhouse movie. And then Manborg is a sci-fi horror, which is really fucking silly. And then The Editor, they made a giallo film. And that was really cool. And then, they're all kind of basically horror and comedy. That's the thing that stays throughout, is they're all horror comedy, but like the subgenre is all different.
Yeah, they play around with like what they're, and I think it's like, you know, like they intentionally go like, oh, how about we do this one now? You know, like,
uh-huh.
Like The Void and Psycho Gorman are completely different films, but like, it's like I could see why they would land on each of those.
Yeah. Jenna, I know that a couple of years ago we were talking and you hadn't seen Psycho Gorman. Did you eventually end up seeing it?
I still haven't seen it. I really
want
it. It's not like on any streaming service I have.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fair.
Yeah, so it's just, I just haven't, I just might like buy it for $3.99.
It's totally point. Worth it.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah,
I watched it so many times. So many people.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, should I buy this or should I just watch this movie on Tubi, you know?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely worth it. I paid $20 for it when it first came out, and no regrets.
It makes for a good movie night, because no matter like who you are, there's something for you to enjoy it.
Yeah, Psycho Gorman is their most accessible movie by far. Because it's all the adult humor is gone and there's kids, but it's not a kids movie. It's really for everybody.
I mean, PG, my sister recommended. Yeah, like my sister recommended to me that movie, and that's definitely not her type of movie. So, like, I would have thought. So I was like, oh, okay, well, if my sister watched it. Like, when her favorite movies when I was growing up was, like, Bring It On and, like, Legally Blonde. So it's like...
No, she, well, like, I mean, it's such a well-made movie, you know? Like, the script is solid. The acting is all really good. It's got that 90s nostalgia that's really good with, like, the Power Rangers and stuff like that. And it's just got something for everybody. And it's just so accessible. Like, that movie I did show my wife when we first started dating, like, just a couple months into after we met each other, I showed her that movie, and she liked it. And she does not like the movies that we cover on this podcast. Although she has been on a couple episodes on the show, a couple of cool films. We did... what did we do on here? She was on Juice, and she was on I don't remember. I've done so many movies by now. Yeah, her and her brother comes on here every once in a while. I don't know if y'all have been on. I don't think y'all have been on any of the episodes of
her brother. I was on a podcast with them. I think it was VFW.
No, they weren't on that one. But well, but speaking of VFW,
I do remember. Oh, maybe it was one of the.
It was on a Midnight Cold Combat episode.
Yeah.
Which I think is the only thing you two have been like. You two haven't done an episode together. I don't think besides this one.
No, I've literally only done it with like. One guy, and then that was on the VFW one, and then Ian.
The cult of Ian.
Yeah. Ryan is the other guy who he's gonna fucking be mad at me when he finds out that he wasn't part of this, because he's a huge fan of Astron 6, but he's working right now, so.
Oh damn!
I'm gonna do the editor next, and I'm gonna get him on that. And if y'all want to do that, the editor is definitely a much more solid film, less crazy as this one, and way fewer dicks for sure. I promise.
Oh good.
I think this is the movie that has a lot of dicks. Yeah, it just like goes up from here.
Yeah, honestly.
If you start with a lot of dicks, and a lot of dicks getting like mutilated and bitten off and like stabbed.
Yeah, I have to say the effects on that was amazing. When the fucking man like bites that dude's dick off, and you see like the trail of skin that like gets peeled out and like stretched and tears off, like that was really good.
All the dick ones are good. It was very reminiscent of like the Pain Olympics.
Oh God, that? No! Yeah.
I was like, all right,
the rest of my life now. Like, early 2000s, like shocking clickbait, like Lemon Party, two girls. I've been seeing like memes about two girls, one cup, and it's like, where is this coming from? Stop.
Well, for the new generation.
Yeah.
They got their own things, like the economy to worry about. Jesus.
Yeah, I guess there isn't like...
Save us. I like how we're all just letting Gen Z just like save us from all the bullshit that the baby boomers did. like us millennials and Gen X, we're just like, well, shit's fucked. You know, you gotta do it.
Yep. Two women shit into their own mouths. There is no God. And if he is, he's definitely like Lloyd Kaufman.
Or it's just like in that rant in this movie where he's like, God's just sitting on his fat, lazy ass.
I like how they like, it's like God is like a Jewish stereotype. It's like, this is a little bizarre. Like, it's good for business, especially the film business. And I'm like, Lloyd, who are your people?
Yeah. That reminds me, did y'all see a Terry Gilliam movie, Time Bandits?
I heard of it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Bree, you said no?
Nope, I haven't even heard
of it. Oh, damn. Oh, it's so good. Maybe it'd be worth doing on this podcast, because, yeah, it's kind of a cult following. It's so good. I can't believe y'all have seen it. I grew up on this movie. Basically, like
Baron Munchausen.
Oh, Baron Munchausen is so good. That movie I really did grow up on. Everybody has their own Robin Williams movie that's special to them when they were growing up. Mine is Baron Munchausen. But
actually, Robin Williams is in Father's Day, but not this Father's Day.
Yeah, the found out
Father's Day. I almost watched that one, and I was
the
like,
non-sister fucking one.
Non-sister fucking one.
Or father rape.
Yeah, there's way less father rape, mutilated penises, and sister fucking. Maybe I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah, but anyway, Time Bandits. What I was going to get to is that, so basically the gist of that movie is there's a bunch of little people, and they helped God create the universe, but they basically kind of feel like they didn't get enough credit for it because they did most of the work. It's like this group of like, I don't know, maybe seven little people. Or dwarves, or I don't know, like kind of like in the story, they're like dwarves or something. But it's a cast of little people, and so they kind of like just rob everybody from all of history, like Napoleon and Robin Hood. Like they rob Robin Hood, and they're like fuck God, or they call him the Supreme Being. And they're running from him the whole movie, but at the very end of the movie, you finally meet God, and he's just like this businessman. And he's like in a suit, and he's like, oh, that's bad for business. And basically, like, you just this movie reminded me of it. So I wonder if that was had any influence on it. God, it's such
probably
a good movie.
Because, yeah, there were so many of those little things. Like, them talking backwards but forwards was definitely, like, lit. Like, they were like, oh, like in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, they made it sound backwards, but it was just forwards.
I was also thinking of, like, may the Schwartz be with you.
Spaceballs.
I figured they were going for like the Spaceballs approach, but like Lloyd wasn't like doing like as much of an exaggerated Jewish accent, so I was like, ooh.
You can't get more Jewish than what's his name from Spaceballs. I'm blanking on his name right now, but yeah, the director.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
He's kind of like Lloyd Kaufman is like his evil twin.
Yeah, right. What else? There's not really much to talk about this movie. Like, I don't know. I mentioned at the very beginning, every time I watch it, it's like I watch it for the first time again. And, like, there's so much. Like, I just rewatched it 2 days ago, and there's already so much I don't remember. And I kind of, like, fell asleep during it, so I was just like, I don't know. This is one of those like fever dream movies where it's like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm not gonna remember this.
like what was it called? Elves, right? Yeah, Elves. Like that type of movie where it's like it starts off as one movie and then it quickly just goes off the rails and it's like, what's with the Nazis now?
Yeah, this is like that. What's with the Nazis now?
How would we describe the plot to this movie though? Like if we all had to like describe the plot, what would we say though?
I mean, yeah, it's like a team of people get together to fight this father rapist murderer. Turns out he's had demon, so they kill themselves and go to hell to defeat him further.
Yeah. And then shenanigans happen along the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of gay shenanigans. Like, that's the best part, honestly. I love Twink.
Twink was the best.
Agreed.
I like how his introduction basically is like, yeah, he'll suck your dick until your nose bleeds.
I mean, is there any other way to introduce a character who names himself Twink? That's like, how else do you introduce a character who names himself Twink? That's the best part.
And then there's the priest, which I thought was really funny that like he went, they were like, oh, where is he? And then he was like in heaven. It's like,
oh. And heaven is just like a bunch of tittied women. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
Which Monty Python did that. Have y'all seen Meaning of Life?
I have.
Yeah, that one where it ends in heaven, and it's just like, it's Christmas in heaven every day, and it just shows all these women with just their boobs out.
I think it's a universal fact that if you are into that, of course, then that's just a bunch of boobed women.
It's Sarah Seinfeld, like,
and one twunk.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He kills the twunk. Who has just like the fake like dollar store Halloween wings on. Like I love like that they put a lot of detail into some things and like such little detail in others because it's just like so much funnier that way.
Oh my god, my favorite like little weird dollar store thing was the chainsaw that one stripper just kept bringing out for no reason.
For no, like, who wants to know? Giant chainsaw.
And then she gets like her face actually wrecked by that said chainsaw.
Rip. She was my favorite.
Her and, oh shit, what was her name? Sleazy.
Oh, yeah, Sleazy.
The entire staff of Low Life.
Was it a dollar store wig because it was like the same actress or something? Like, I was so confused why she had that horrible wig on the whole time. Like, okay, whatever. Maybe I shouldn't look too deep into Father's Day.
That was the most like cliche thing ever when he, you know, he goes into the strip club and then he goes to the manager's office and he's like, what was her name? Not Sleazy, but her actual name?
Like or something. Mary or yeah. I just remember Sleazy.
The last time, it's Sleazy.
Yeah, but like she turns her. Yeah, it is Mary. Yeah, Sleazy Mary. He's like, I'm looking for Mary. And it's like, it's Sleazy Mary. And she like turns around in her chair and then she like sees him and then she makes that smile and she's like, oh, Ahab, as you. You know, like you see that in every movie that's ever been made.
Yeah. Well, they expect him to get with her in the end.
Yeah, And he's like, ew.
You got some brother like, and sister.
You didn't kiss me. Yeah, I did. You didn't feel it because you're like crying.
Yeah. It's too late. She's gone. And she's like flipping him the finger.
Oh, so yeah, I only like half remember this because like for me, I've at my work it's been really crazy. I've had to work. I just put in 63 hours this week, and I work all day. I get home and then I'm so tired, so I just like kind of fall asleep. So I put on this movie. And it took me about, 3 hours to watch this movie. Because I put it on and, dozed off. And then I woke up later in the movie. And then I'm like, oh, shit. And I rewind it. Go back to where I was. Press play. And fall back asleep again. So I just did that over and over again. And then, I think I watched it in two different settings. So maybe it took me, 5 hours to watch this movie. So it's, it's just a jumbled mess in my memory. It deserves, to be honest.
Yeah, do you really need to follow it tooth and nail?
It's this whole movie is just like very, very blurry for me, and I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, Fever Dream's a good way to put it.
It really is. One of the last actual spoken lines was, get an abortion.
Get an abortion!
I completely forgot a lot of things that y'all are bringing up, and I'm like, oh yeah, that did happen. I put it on today to get a second watch a couple of hours ago, and then I totally slept through it. I'm in really rough shape right now.
I just got back from Portland today and I did an overnight flight. So it's I definitely in the beginning I was like, okay, I'm gonna pause this, take a nap, and then watch it again.
Nice. They also do a bunch of short films. My favorite is BioCop, which I know both of y'all have seen. That is so good. Everybody wants them to make it a full-length movie, which would be impossible, but I can't imagine what a full-length movie of BioCop is.
They did the Incredible Melting Man is a full movie.
Yeah. I think
they can make it happen.
I just love how it's just a trailer. Of just this cop who's just, melting and just, he just wants to die, but he can't. And so he's still, being a cop and, doing justice and stuff. But he's just kill me the whole movie.
I think that's the charm of it. If you were to do, a full-length movie, I think it'd, lose a lot of charm.
Yeah. However, they did do something that was really great. Bree, I know you know this. BioCop makes an appearance in Psycho Goreman.
Yes. Yes. After their dress up as they're in the basketball court. Yep.
Yeah. So we'll let,
I actually did Jenna see find that out.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember thinking BioCop was a full movie, so I was looking it up and then I saw that scene and I'm like, oh, I guess he has an origin story.
Yeah, if you look up BioCop, the scene from Psycho Goreman just pops right up.
And then give him, a little bit more, I don't want to say, agency, but a little more abilities. He literally writes a note and slips it to a kid, please kill me. Yeah. Oh my god. Oh, I love that movie. I just want to go watch Psycho Goreman now, I'm not gonna lie.
I've seen it so many times.
I might have to watch it after this.
It's one of those movies I just can't get tired of, honestly. I could just show it to a shit ton of people and just still be happy.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's probably their best movie that they've made. And like I said earlier, most successful. The editor, I really want to do that on the podcast soon. So if y'all want to do that, I promise it's less insane as this one. It's like an actual, like, that's the first actual real horror movie is The Editor.
A low hurdle to get over when you say it's better than this one. Like, that's like a bar that's literally buried in the ground at this point.
Oh, it's less insane than the most insane movie I've ever seen. Okay.
Yeah.
But no, it's actually grounded, and it's like they did this, and then they did Manborg, which Manborg is just silly, basically. But like, The Editor is the first actual real movie that they tried to make seriously. But it's also really funny, like all their other movies, because they do comedy so well.
I would love for them to get like, what's that guy that was in Troma? Now he does like Marvel movies.
Oh, not Marvel, but DC, I think. Yeah, the guy who did the Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah, but he also did
James Gunn?
Yeah, James Gunn. He also did the Marvel movie.
You know, the one out of like 40 that are all the same.
Oh my god. How do you guys not know? Guardians, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
He did do Guardians. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did do that.
I want like these guys to get like the James Gunn treatment where they actually get like a really, really high budget movie.
Or yeah, like
James Gunn's the only person to survive trauma besides the South Park guys.
Peter Jackson.
They are trauma.
The Peter Jackson treatment as well.
Yeah, we'll say Peter Jackson treatment.
that's some other stuff I want to do on the show.
Oh yeah, you got to do the trilogy.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the real Peter Jackson trilogy. Yeah.
Bad Taste.
Yeah, I definitely want to do Bad Taste for sure. I think that movie's underrated because like Brain Dead is so huge in the cult world that it like way overshadows Bad Taste.
I mean, Bad Taste clearly was like way lower budget, and like he just did what he could with Bad Taste, which is still an awesome fucking movie. But it's like Brain Dead, like one director said, like it quenches your thirst for like gore.
It does do that, yeah.
Yeah, like you're like, all right, this is very gory.
Well, Brain Dead, aka Dead Alive, it holds the record for most blood ever used in a movie.
I think that was until the Evil Dead remake.
Oh yeah, Evil Dead did that.
Of fake blood, like the whole raining scene at the end.
Yeah, that was cheating. They did a whole rain shot.
As a Slayer fan, I really appreciate that they did that. I grew up listening to Slayer. They used to be my favorite band, and Raining Blood is like one of the greatest metal songs of all time. And then when I saw that movie in the theater, I was like, yes, it is Raining Blood.
They definitely did it for like metalheads for sure.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is for all the Slayer fans out there. But yeah, there's really, I love how there's like not much we can really like say about Father's Day, so we're just talking about all these other movies.
I think there's a shit ton to say about Father's Day.
All right, go on. Go on.
Well, I mean, we talked about a lot of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think your favorite characters were?
Ahab for me, for sure.
Yeah, Twink. We already established that. Yeah.
I like the priest the most.
Really? See,
that's fair. He's fun.
I think because, like, one of my favorite movies, going back to South Park, guys, is Orgasmo. And he just reminded me of, like, the main guy in Orgasmo. And he's like, oh, gosh, start. And he said, like, God damn it. And then he's like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to say so many Hail Marys now.
That was great. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think that Adam Brooks his delivery is just so good. So as Ahab or anything else he's been in, it was just there's a whole scene of him dying, and then he comes up and he's just back. He's fine, and he puts his jacket on, and he's like, somebody must have fed me my tasty berries.
That was my favorite part, because it's like, huh, that actually came back around when he grabbed, like, the poison berries and the tasty berries. I was like, I did not expect that.
Yep. Well, is there anything else anybody wants to bring up? Anything from the movie?
No, I'm good.
All right.
I like live blogged my reaction to you guys. I mean, it speaks volumes about like what I thought of. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I will say I liked that one part where they're pulling the key from that one guy's mouth. It felt like a found footage horror movie, almost like the Blair Witch Project for a second. That was I don't know why that part made me laugh so hard.
And when they're like, ew, I don't want to do it.
I love like those small little bickers that they have, like when they're playing rock, paper, scissors to decide who dies, and then Twink shows up in hell. I lost.
And when he's like, oh, like the maple syrup gets sweet, but then it goes sour over time. And he's like, oh, so like your sister's the maple syrup. And he's like, what?
You're the wise tree. He's like, no, I'm talking about literal syrup.
Don't call a man a tree.
Never call a man a tree. Like, that guy's delivery is just, like, so like, a lot of those jokes would have been not funny. Like, but that guy had such good timing and such good delivery. Like, it's just so funny.
Yeah, he's, like, the straight man that just says stuff that, like, that you don't expect coming.
Yeah.
Well, usually we do the sequel, prequel, remake.
Which is
yeah, I didn't think about it either. Like this movie is very how do you do a sequel or prequel to this? Or
you could do
remake it.
The origins of Fuckman.
No thanks.
I'm just throwing something out there.
I like Mother's Day, it would be not as funny. But like Grandparents Day would be So that's my sequel, is like basically this movie, but with like grandpas and grandmas getting raped.
You somehow made this movie worse.
Yeah, that's
you're welcome.
Oh God,
that's what I do best.
And I know that this isn't. this might be an unpopular opinion, but this movie had too much rape in it.
I absolutely agree. Especially like even the skull fucking. Did not expect to see that within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's how it opened. Yeah, that's right.
Well, and this was another, I think, callback, because that was in one of the French extremist horror movies. Hold on one minute. Why am I blanking?
Remind
on
me
the
of
name?
Who was that killer?
High Tension.
In what?
High Tension. In like the opening scene of High Tension, like this dude's like fucking a beheaded head.
Yeah. Just reminds me of that one serial killer on Mindhunter, Edward Kemp or something, how he skull fucked his mom. Yeah, that's what it made me think of.
The worst movie I've ever seen is this movie called Found, and it has so much skull fucking.
The fact that there's more than one, it's too much.
Oh god, I hated
so much. Yeah, you saw finally somebody who's seen this movie.
Just like, but it wasn't good. Like, I wanted it to be good, and it just wasn't. And everyone, well, like, oh, it's so fucked up, and I'm like, it's not. I don't know.
I don't know. I have an opposite opinion. I think that it's too good. Like the way it was filmed and everything. Like, it was very well shot, and which makes it so more disturbing.
Maybe, like, for me it was like the acting was so horrible, and they like
used, the acting, like, was pretty bad. Yeah
so it's just acting, but if acting's like super bad, it just like completely takes me out of the movie.
Yeah. But like the
as director, I say, and after the editing, movie.
The directing and the editing, like, that shit, like, after I watched that movie, I just, like, had to go outside and, like, take a walk and smoke a cigarette, and I don't even smoke.
And it's so weird, because I saw it with, like, three of my friends, and we were like, eh, okay.
That movie, like, ruined my week.
I think we watched, like, another movie after that, and we're like, let's watch an actual fucked up movie.
What did you watch?
It wasn't. It was just as bad. It was like a movie that was made during the pandemic, and it was called Dark Web. Don't watch it.
Mm. Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
It's like a guy, like, he has like a YouTube channel where he like, he talks about like all these really fucked up found footage movies, and then things go a little crazy.
Yeah, it's like based off like that one creepypasta like from eons ago about like different dark web videos you saw. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like it was very creepypasta-esque, so that makes sense.
Well, let's go ahead and rate this somehow, someway. Somehow. I'll go first. Production is it's low but high at the same time, because like the budget is like $5, and but like they did a lot with what they had, and they really like put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. So So I'm conflicted on that. So I'll give it like, I'll meet it halfway, because like the budget's really bad, but they did a lot with it, like I said. So I'll give it 5. What's it called? The tasty berries. And story. There's not much story, so I'll give it 2 dads. And enjoyment, like I said, I like this movie the more times I see it. Like, I just, like, I watch it, and then I put it well away for several years, and I watch it again. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is better than I thought, than I remember. It really does get better with each viewing, like, since you actually, like, you expect, like, the bad shit that you hate about it, like I was saying at the beginning. And then, like, the jokes are, I think the good things about it outweigh the bad things about it. So, give it, 7 possessed sisters.
Okay. Wow.
All right. Brie, how about you?
You know, production is weird. Like, if a lot of the camera work is very stylized, which is definitely intentional. I mean, I love Steve Kostanski's work, and I mean, he's going all out with this, despite the bad budget. So for that, I am going to give it 4 tree sap tappers that could be used in multiple ways. as far as the story goes, yeah, like you said, it's so fucking all over the place. I mean, every 3 seconds, here's a new plot. Here's a new plot. Here's a new plot. And so for that, I will give it 3 demon babies getting curb stomped.
Nice.
And then, as far as enjoyment, I don't know if I enjoyed it or not. That's the weird thing. Like, I mean, it was like, I had to like check like how far I was, because I felt like I was going through so many plot points. I'd pause and be like, oh my god, it's only been 15 minutes? Hold on. It was bizarre. I mean, it was fun. There were some moments. It was bizarre. So as far as enjoyment factors, maybe I'll try that strategy. Maybe I'll come back to it again in a few years. But for now, I am going to give it 5 cats eating my dead body.
Nice. All right. Sweet. And then there's... you said that was enjoyment, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's a new segment I brought to the show. I forgot to do it on mine. I don't think you haven't been here in a long time, so I don't think you've been part of this. The new segment is double feature. So, what would you pair this movie with another similar movie for a double feature? So for me, it would probably be The Editor. So I would watch this back to back with The Editor, and probably The Editor first and then this movie. So what similar movie would you pair this up with a double feature?
Okay, hear me out. Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Interesting. Okay.
So I mean, they're both kind of in like the same vein of, I mean, they're just over the top, ridiculous death, gratuitous things like that. Obviously, I mean, Dude Bro Party Massacre 3 is better.
I like this one better, honestly.
Really? But, wow. Okay.
I really like that movie.
There's so much in like the same vein of just over the top goofy killing. I mean, I feel like those two would fit really well together in a double feature.
Yeah, that's cool. I like how out of the box you're thinking is with that, because I mean it is similar, but like, yeah, I did not see that coming, so nice.
You know, what can I say? I gotta throw a curveball in here.
In which order did you say?
Oh shit, the order. Ooh, okay, I would probably do this one first, just because I mean it's so over the place and you're like, maybe I need a little bit of a palate cleanser. And then so move into Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, where I mean at least the plot is there. It's fucking goofy, but at least like it's pretty easy to follow.
And it's another like murder mystery kind of.
Who done it?
And Jenna, we'll go to you now with the rating, starting with production.
So for production, again, it's like, because it's a low budget movie, you know, like obviously compared to like, I don't know, The Shining. I don't know why The Shining came to mind, but then, you know, like, it's going to be a little different. So, in terms of like a low budget movie, I give it like a 5 out of 10. Poison Berries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. because I did really, maybe a little higher, I'd say 6 out of 10. Because the effects were great, you know, obviously. And yeah, they were very ambitious with what they were doing. So I did like the lighting was like off, but like I could tell what they were going for. And so it's like, all right. The sound was kind of all over the place too. which I usually don't pick up on, but I picked up on this, so that means that it's probably really bad. So that I'd say that was like the worst part of the movie, was like the sound was kind of everywhere. But again, it was really ambitious. For the story, I am unlike you guys, where I actually followed along really well, and I am like the queen of not being able to follow stories. I don't know how, maybe just if it's like real quick and just like bah, 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 then I can follow it or something. But I was like, oh wow, I actually understood everything that was going on in this movie, which is very unlike me. So I'll give that a 6 out of 10 mutilated penises.
All right. Yeah, somebody had to.
For overall, as you do, for overall enjoyment, I liked it. Like, it was fun. Again, I'm fucked up, and I am not bothered by these types of movies as much as other people would be. So, like, you know, I just took it as it is, like, oh, this is a fun, like, gore fest with, like, you know.
Yeah. It's a great house. Yeah.
And in your face and sorry, snowflakes, don't watch it. Like, that kind of vibe. And it's like, okay, this is fun. It's like back in the early 2000s kind of era. I can dig it. So, yeah, I'd say it was good. So it's like an exact, like, 5 out of 10. Sister fuckers.
Okay.
So yeah, I enjoyed it all in all.
Nice.
Will I see it again? Probably not. And like, you know, it's not the movie that, like, if someone's like, oh, I've never seen that, I'd be like, oh, we gotta watch it. Oh my god.
Okay,
it's a movie. If you're into that kind of thing, like,
yeah, you know. I mean, it's definitely a good grindhouse movie, which those are just fun. Like, that's really the best way to put any of them.
It's like a good put on in the background of like a really weird, like, Halloween party someone's throwing. Like some hipster, you know, like a hipster Halloween party. It's like, dude, you gotta check this movie out, man. It's so fucking weird. Like, that's so, you know, that's the kind of the vibe I get from that movie.
Yeah. And what's your double feature?
I'd say Kung Fury. It was like, yeah, like, it definitely reminded me of Kung Fury, obviously different genres. But like, they were going for like a similar thing, like
the nostalgia, like, yeah, the like old VHS thing with all the,
yeah, like,
yeah, it's the, like, gritty like film kind of thing.
Yeah, and it has like all these like tropes of like 80s movies in it, and it's like super over the top, and it's like also, it's like doesn't take itself seriously at all.
Jenna, have you seen Turbo Kid?
I haven't yet. I've been wanting to. You would love that movie. Right? Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, it's produced by the guy who directed Hobo with a Shotgun. It's very 80s nostalgia, like what you're talking about. I think you'd love it.
Yeah, because it's the same guys, right?
No.
It's just Hobo with a Shotgun guy.
Yes, Hobo with a Shotgun. Well, he produced it. He didn't direct it. But yeah, I mean, they're all Canadians. So yeah,
they're all the same people, right? There's like five Canadians.
Yeah. Hobo with a Shotgun guy, Astronaut Six guys. Yeah, they're all Canadian.
Oh, the maple syrup makes sense now.
I'm gonna override your double feature, and I'll change it from Kung Fury to Turbo Kid. Yeah.
Well, either way, if you're gonna, I would do that movie first. So this, when Father's Day comes on, people can just like walk out if they wanted to.
Yeah. Good call. Very like, great call.
All right, this is too much. I'm good for today.
And I'm actually going to change mine, too, because, like, we didn't really talk about how much of a grindhouse this is. It got brought up a little bit, but, yeah, like, this is a grindhouse movie, which, around this time, you know, there's, like, this new, like, neo-grindhouse thing, where it started with Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez with their grindhouse thing with Planet Terror and Death Proof. And then, like, Hobo with a Shotgun came out, and then Machete, and then this movie came out, and then you got, like, all the, a whole bunch of others. So I'm gonna take the editor out, and I'm gonna pair this up with another grindhouse movie. I don't know if y'all have heard about it, but it's pretty similar to this one. Nude Nuns with Big Guns.
I've heard of it, haven't seen it.
I haven't heard of it, but like if someone said Neo Grindhouse, Nude Nuns with Big Guns, I'd be like, yep, yeah.
Yeah. It's similar to this. It's like, yeah, if you take Father's Day and Machete and you combine the two of them together, you got Nude Nuns with Big Guns. It's definitely very grindhouse. So that's what mine is, and then I guess that'll be it for this episode of Movies So Bad with They're Good Midnight Classics and Can't. I think I need to get y'all back for either Baron Munchausen or Time Bandits,
and I'm very curious about the editor
and the editor. Yeah, I want to do that one. It's all about, you know, like how scheduling allows, but since my schedule is like all just work every day, I'm actually like more available on weekends than I was before somehow. But
I finally got a full-time job, so, but it's overnights, of course, so yeah, well, but that nice. Means that weekends I'm a little more.
And then I want to do some, like, actual, like, real giallo films. Like,
Suspiria is the biggest one.
Saw what?
Santa Sangre.
Oh, that's awesome. I saw that in theaters. That movie.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, Alejandro Jodorowsky, yeah. He is... See, that's not exactly a giallo film, but, he did have help from the giallo master, the guy who directed Suspiria.
It was actually his son. So the Suspiria guy's son. Why am I blanking on his name?
Yeah, me too. I stick with names in general, but
I'm good with names, but like, I don't have any.
Mario
Argento is who you're thinking of, but he wrote this with Claudio Argento.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, because Santa Sangre came out in the 90s. I would do that movie, but I've already done it for the podcast. Yeah, that movie is so fucking good.
And, yeah, seeing it in theaters was like awesome.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in theaters, but I did go to see Holy Mountain two nights in a row.
Have you seen Holy Mountain?
Definitely got to do Holy Mountain on this show, for sure.
I've seen Holy Mountain a bunch. Never in the right mind. You know, I took some substances that make you really enjoy that movie more.
What about El Topo?
I've never seen El Topo. Actually, I've only seen the Holy Mountain, and so when I was going to Portland, I looked up like indie movie theaters, and Santa Sangre was playing one day, and I was like, oh shit, like perfect time. And I went with some friends.
Oh yeah, that must have been awesome.
Yeah, it was, and they were high as balls. I didn't. I didn't smoke or anything, but they, like, they both had a great time. And my friend's wife, she's like, she's not like not weird, but like she doesn't really have that kind of she doesn't really watch that kind of movie, but she loved it. So
yeah. All right. Well, God, now we have to do those movies too. I mean, I was already planning on doing El Topo and Holy Mountain, but all right. So Holy Mountain, El Topo, The Editor, Harry Munchausen, and maybe Time Bandits. There you go. That's the future of this podcast. We'll head out here. Hopefully. We can make that happen with everybody having a different schedule, but we'll figure it out. All right. Thanks, Bree and Jenna. Always fun having you on.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
always a quote pleasure.
You know, actually, totally different from the movies you cover on here, but I just rewatched Austin Powers, and it's like, of course you never had the pleasure. And yeah, so as I always say to the audience, get the fuck out.